I am mighty Prince James, by the grace of God, King of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, defender of the faith. Now, you remember how the Church of England got started? How did the Church of England get started? Well, King Henry VIII wanted to get divorced, wanted a divorce, and the Pope would not allow him to have a divorce, so he kicked the Pope out of England, took over all the Catholic Church's property, buildings, priests and all in England. Just took them over. Just said, they're no longer Catholic, we're going to be the Church of England. And I'm going to be the boss.
What king was that?
King Henry VIII.
Henry VIII.
Yeah. Well, this was one of his grandchildren here. This boy, James. Anyway, so from that point on, they left. Now, they didn't change their doctrines or anything else. All they changed was who the boss was. It went from the Pope in Rome to the Pope on the throne. Okay? From the Pope in Rome to the Pope on the throne. And that's what we have here. All right? We have the most holy Pope here. We're talking the Papa. Yeah, well, the Archbishop of Canterbury is the next guy under him. Well, the Archbishop of Canterbury is the next man. He's the number two man in England. The king's number one, and he is the head of the church, or the queen, the Holy Mother, or the Holy Father. All right? That's what they call him. Well, here it is. The translators of the Bible wish grace, mercy, peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the translators of his Bible, the translators of the King James Bible to the king himself. Okay? These are the words. Now let's go here and read and see what it says. A lot of people ought to read what it says in these prefaces to the Bibles. All right? Now, one of the only people that keep this in their Bible is the Mormons. Did you know that? They know what they're doing. But if you look in the old Mormon King James Bibles, it'll have this in it. That's where this came from. All right? Great and manifold were the blessings, most dread sovereign, which Almighty God, the Father of all mercies, has bestowed upon us, the people of England, when first He sent Your Majesty royal person to rule and reign over us. For whereas it was the expectation of many who wish not well unto our Sion, that upon the setting of that bright occidental star, Queen Elizabeth, of most happy memory, some thick and palpable clouds of darkness would so have overshadowed this land, that men should have been in doubt which way they were to walk. Who's it talking about? Study history. It's talking about the Catholics and the Baptists. All right? That's who it's talking about. And that it should hardly be known who was direct to the unsettled state, the appearance of Your Majesty as the Son in His strength, instantly dispelled those supposed and surmised mists, and gave unto all that were well affected exceeding cause of comfort, especially when we beheld the government established in Your Highness, Your hopeful seed, by an undoubted title, this also accompanied with peace and tranquility at home and abroad. But among all our joys, there was no one that more filled our hearts than the blessed continuance of preaching God's sacred word among us. Now, who's talking about here? These are the priests and the so-called scholars that translated the King James Version. Remember who's speaking. Okay? Which is the inestimate treasure which excelleth all the riches of the earth, because the fruit thereof extendeth itself not only to the time spent in this transitory world, but directeth and disposeth men unto that eternal happiness which is above in heaven. Then not to suffer this to fall to the ground, but rather to take it up, to continue it in that state wherein the most predecessor of Your Highness did leave it. You know what he's saying here? He's saying here that this is King Henry VIII that he's talking about. Yeah. King Henry VIII. Now he's the one that established the Church of England. May it go forward with the confidence and resolution of a man in maintaining the truth of Christ and the propagation it far and near, is that which hath so bound and firmly knit the hearts of all your majesty's loyal and religious people unto you, that your very name is precious among them, their eye doth behold you with comfort, and they bless you in their hearts, as that sanctified person who under God is the immediate author of their true happiness, the conveyor of grace. Do you understand? The Pope? This is exactly, and every time you see a personal pronoun, look at the word you. What's it, how is it treated? Y-O-U. It's capitalized. You capitalize deity, don't you? All right, that's what works. He's deity. Sanctified person. See that capital P? Who under God is the immediate author, capital, of their true happiness, and that this continuant doth not diminish or decay, but every day increases and taketh strength when they observe that the zeal of capital, your majesty, capital, toward the house of God doth not slack or go backward. What house of God is he talking about? The church. But is more and more kindled, manifestingly itself abroad in the furthest parts of Christendom by writing in defense of the truth, which hath given such a blow unto that man of sin as will not be healed. He's talking about the Pope. And every day at home, a religious and learned discourse by frequenting the house of God, by hearing the word preached, by cherishing the teachers thereof, by caring for the church as a most tender and loving nursing father. Who is he talking about? The father here? The prince, the king. Not God the Father. There are more infinite arguments of this right Christian and religious affection of, capital, your majesty. But none is more forcible to declare it to others than the vehemently and perpetuated desire of accomplishing and publishing of this work, which now, with all our humility, we present to, capital, your majesty. For when, capital, your highness had once, out of deep judgment, apprehended how convenient it was that our, out of the original sacred tongues, together with the compared of the labors, both in our and other foreign languages, of many worthy men who went before us, there should be one more exact translation of the Holy Scriptures into the English tongue. Your Majesty, see how he keeps saying, capitalizing this? Never desist to urge and to excite those to whom it was commended that the work might be hastened and that the business might be expedited in so decent a manner as a matter of such importance might justly require. They had 40-something councils of how they would translate certain words because it was going to go contrary to the Church of England if they translated correctly into English. They did not want anything translated that would go contrary to the doctrines of the Church of England. The Church of England believed in baptismal salvation. The Church of England believed in sprinkling at this time, so they did not translate the word baptize or immerse. They believed in the universal church, so they did not translate the word assembly as it should have been translated instead of church, because they would think of the universal church under the king. And the Catholics, the word Catholic is a universal church under the Pope, the Big Papa. Now at last, by the mercy of God and the continuance of our labors, it being brought into such conclusion as that we have great hopes that the Church of England, who? The Baptist? The Methodist? The Catholic? The children of God? The Pentecostals? Who? The Church of England shall reap good fruit thereof. We hold it our duty to offer it to your majesty, not as to our king and sovereign, but as to the principal mover and author of the work. Now he was, wasn't he? They translated scriptures exactly like he told them to do. Humbly craving your most sacred majesty. That, you know, these terms should not only be used in reference to God, yeah, not to a king. Or a man. That since things of this quality have never been subject to the censors of ill-meaning and discontented persons. You know who he's talking about there, Brother Montregon?
Probably Baptist.
It may receive approbation and patronage from so learned and judicious prince as your highness is, whose allowance and acceptance of our labors shall more honor and encourage us than all the calamitous and hard interpretations of the other men shall dismay us. He's talking directly about Baptists. Okay. They were burned. So many Baptists were burned in England over this translation that they ran out of firewood. They did. They couldn't heat their houses for burning Baptists because of this translation. And we swallow it hook, line, and sinker today. That's a shame to our people. So that if on the one side we shall be traduced by popish persons at home or abroad, or therefore will malign us because we are poor instruments to make God's holy truth to be yet more and more known to the people. See, the Catholics did not let their people read the Bible. The Baptists preached the Word of God from its original languages. Okay? And they didn't like it. Because their people were going to the Baptist. They were preaching the Bible. And people, when you read the Bible, it does something to you. Okay? So they said, well, to keep our people in the Church of England, we have to give them a Bible. So at least they'll be reading the Scriptures. And of course, we don't have to worry about the Catholics because they don't have a Bible. Not the people. So we'll gather up all of those and keep them from going to Catholicism, and we won't have the political problem. See, England went back and forth. England went back and forth from Protestant, which is Church of England, to Catholic. Church of England, Catholic. Church of England, Catholic. See, the Church of England is considered Protestant, not Baptist. Okay? When you talk about Protestant over there, we're talking about the Church of England, not Baptist. Okay? God's holy truth, to be yet more and more known to the people, whom they desire still to keep in ignorance and darkness. Now, they did. And if on the other side we shall be maligned by self-conceited brethren, Baptists, you might as well say, who run their own ways, giving lacking unto nothing but what is framed by themselves and hammered out on their own anvil, we may rest secured, supported within by the truth and innocency of a good conscience. I don't know how they could do that when they had 40-some-odd councils trying to figure out how to not translate the Bible to where it would downgrade their church instead of the church changing the doctrines according to the Bible. They changed the Bible according to the doctrines of the Church of England. Having walked the ways of simplicity and integrity as before the Lord and sustained, by the way, the Lord here is the King, and sustained without the powerful protection of your majesty's grace and favor, which will ever give continuance to honest and Christian endeavors against bitter censors and uncharitable imputations. That is the Baptist they're talking about there. The Lord of heaven and earth bless your majesty with many and happy days, that as his heavenly hand hath enriched your highness with many singular and extraordinary graces, so you, see all these capital U's in yours, you may be the wonder of the world in this latter age for happiness and true felicity to the honor of that great God and good of his church. Church. Universal. Church England. The Church of England. Through Jesus Christ our Lord and only Savior. You got it. That's yours.
They're preaching it. They're preaching the same Bible here, like in our Baptist churches.
Yes. That's your
so
King James.
They're preaching from a Bible that's been translated.
For the Church of England.
England. We're still doing
people ought to read the preface to the Bible. Yes, we're still doing it. For 100 years or 150 years, Baptists died because of it. Now, all of a sudden, we swallowed it just like that old bass out there in the river does, you know. People keep throwing a lure out there until they finally think it's real. And they gulp it down.
Well, I've been to King James. I know Baptists that think that if you're not reading out of King James, you're not reading a good Bible, because I had a Bible study class before I became a Baptist with some, and they didn't want me there because I didn't have a King James.
Yeah.
Like, well, you've got, you know.
One of my students, Steve Brigman, back in South Carolina, it's King James only in all the churches back there. And it's a real problem reaching people that say they have the truth with the truth again. How do you do it?
Did you send them one of these?
Tell them to read the preface to their Bible? The introductory or the dedicatory prayer of the people that translated it? But they brought their religion and made it a state religion in each one of those colonies. Each colony had a state religion until Rhode Island was founded, which was a Baptist colony and had real religious freedom.
Who started it?
John, I can't think. I think his name was White or Whit, and Roger Miller helped him. Roger Williams. But it was White. Williams really didn't have near as much to do with it. They actually founded two different churches. Roger Williams' church went away, his original church, and then the Church of Providence, Rhode Island, which I think it was, which was John White. I'm doing this all from memory. My memory isn't as good anymore. But I believe his name was John White. He founded that one. He went and stayed in England 12 years, I think it was, trying to get the king to give them a charter so they could have freedom of religion in that colony and give it a test, because none of the other colonies had been founded with freedom of religion. You heard about all the witch hunts and stuff that they had in Salem, Massachusetts and all that. A lot of those witches that they killed, they were Baptists. You know, they weren't all witches. Some of them were Baptists. If you were not one of them, they would kick you out. They kicked out Roger Williams in the middle of the winter. And if it wasn't for the Indians back there, he would have died. And so he went and worked with this other fellow, which I having trouble remembering his name. But he worked with him, and they did found the church in Rhode Island. And Roger Williams later founded their church too. But he basically quit Christian religion after a certain point in his life. He didn't go to church anymore. But the other guy did. And I'll try to remember his name or else look it up or something. Where were we last week? I think it was it 6 or 7:45? Is that where we finished up? I think that's where I've got it.
Question. Does the Baptist Convention go by the New King James also?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because I always hear a lot of them talk them on the radio or TV.
Yeah. I know one thing. The American Baptist Association believes in King James only. Why they follow that hook, line, and sinker, I do not know. It's a shame to them. It's an absolute shame. Because that's one of the most orthodox Baptist groups in the world. And they have gone the way of all flesh by following that heretical Anglican Bible.
Started over at divorce then, because they know divorce
yes.
is wrong, and so you try to change. Well, how do they change it in their Bible? I don't see it. I mean, I've looked at King James, and it still talks against divorce.
It still talks against divorce, but you have to realize the Pope makes the final decision. So who makes the final decision in England? Henry got a lot of divorces after he became the king and the head of the church. He was killing them right and left and divorcing them right and left. Either killing them or divorcing them, one or the other. But they're, the priests are the ones that make the decisions. Baptists would not even take a license out to get married. There was no such thing. marriage was always a woman and a man coming together in when they came together, when they made the decisions of what they were going to do. They usually had there was no such thing as a ceremony. All the ceremonies in marriage that you see today either come from Catholicism or the Church of England. Okay, did not come from the Bible at all. But the Church of England and the Catholic Church said that you had to have a letter, a marriage license to be married. The Baptists stood up and said, we don't believe in that. God makes marriages, not churches. And to be buried, you had to have a license to bury somebody. And they stood against that also, marrying and burying. Where are we today? Just take a think of it. Just take a look at it and think just a little bit. Where are we today? Where all this came from? Where did it come from?
England.
The Church of England and Rome. That's where it came from. And you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, as they say. Truth does not come from error. You can't make truth out of it. We struggle along and gulp it down and do the best we can in life. But we ought to know the truth occasionally. It should not be against the law to preach the truth.
Right.
It has been for so many years.
To this day.
And it hasn't been popular even to this day. And I tell you what, I couldn't get up and preach in a lot of Baptist churches. They almost threw me out of them. I don't really remember when I went back to Oklahoma for a month that time on vacation. I preached all across this country. I think it back in 1979 or 80. I got back there in LaPorte, Indiana, and they almost threw me out of a church because I was preaching from New American Standard. I got up there and started preaching out of the New American Standard from the book of Jonah. And they had a collection fit right there in this Missionary Baptist Church. I mean, they were going to run me out of the pulpit. And the preacher got up there and said, wait just a minute, people. You don't really understand what's going on here. This is one of the greatest language teachers in America. He is the teacher in the seminary at CMBI in California. This man is allowing you to see through your own eyes what the original language in these scriptures says. Now, we go by the King James Version, but he's reading it from the original languages. And he said, I asked you. He said, you're going to vote right now. I know whether this man continues to preach today or not. But he said, if I were you, I would listen to what he's got to say. Because he is a language teacher. He is a language scholar. He knows the original languages. Just let him preach from whatever version it is. And I think you'll learn something from it. And I did. I preached all the way through Sunday school and then all the way through the preaching hour on the same book for 2 solid hours. And they just absolutely had a collection fit at the end. They were so happy. They went from one extreme to the other extreme. They had never known the book of Jonah before. They had never seen it like it was then. Because I was bringing out a lot of things from the original language and all this down through there. And they had never, it was a fog to them. But now they could see it plainly and clearly. And they were just so happy. Well, almost got thrown out of the pulpit.
When I heard you preach, it was so simple and so easy. I mean, it wasn't all that traditional junk that I've been used to. And that's what really got me thinking all that night about it. That's when I asked the first thing.
I still am going to give you a copy of that sermon. Yeah, I only preached on hell a couple of times in my life, and that was one of them. I'll look that up because I've got that sermon and when you came forward.
It is 1981.
Yeah.
I haven't written down my whole Bible.
That's 19 years ago.
Yeah, I wrote it down. I know it was a few days before my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
March 21st.
Yeah. Well, I've got the sermon. I still have that one.
I wrote it down.
But just don't go out and argue with people because it doesn't do any good. Don't go argue with your pastors. Don't go argue with the other teachers or anything else. Just know the truth. And the truth will make you free. It didn't say anything about them.
There's a couple of pretty good videos that have been out for several years about the Anabaptists.
Yeah.
And Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Yes.
And some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you read, and it's pretty quick to understand what was going on.
Yeah. Well, I taught Baptist church history for about 15 years. And it is one of the most rewarding studies. And they want me, maybe to teach a class on Baptist history. I've had two or three people ask me to do that, which I might do it if the church allows it and stuff later. I don't know what day I'm going to get to do it. I don't know where or when. I'm Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night already. Well, let's get into the Bible now, the real Bible. The real article. John 7 and verse 45. No King James in here. No Catholicism. No Douay. No New Jerusalem Bible. Or anything like that. It's just the real Word. Okay? Will you settle for the real thing?
I noticed you teach that American Standard.
New American Standard?
New American Standard.
Yeah, I do.
You gave me a Bible. Yeah. New American Standard. Yeah. When I got baptized.
Yeah. This is the real, genuine truth. You see a lot of fakes out in the world. All over the place. A lot of fakes. And you see, for instance, almost every watch you see that put out that has two-tone, it looks like a row, the ladies and men's. The men's will look like a ladies. The ladies' watch will look like a ladies' date just Rolex. And now they're starting to make dials and putting on these watches and make them look like they're, you know, they're lookalikes. But there's nothing underneath except a quartz movement. A Rolex is 26 to 31 jewels, and it's a masterful piece, a masterpiece of mechanics.
It's a wind-up thing?
It's a wind-up and everything. My wife is here. I'd let you see one.
Okay.
She's got one on her arm. The real thing. The real thing. I used to have one, too, until I gave it to a lawyer. I had two of them.
I thought you were
going to
say a
Hawkshaw.
Give it to this guy.
No. I got it from a Hawkshaw originally. But they're real. Not fakes. But every time somebody makes something real, if it goes over real good, somebody's going to make a fake one.
Yeah.
Going to make a fake one. And that's what you see in life. You see some real things, and you see a fake. Well, Hale Thone. Un, hoy, hiperete. Brother, have you got a Bible? I got that from Kenneth Hooper so many years ago. Apokritheson. Can you say that? Apokritheson. Hoy, hiperete. Ude pote. Ila Lesen. Hutos. Anthropos. Alright. John 7 and verse 46. Now let's the first one is third person plural. So who did it? Who's third person plural?
Them.
They. You, that's right, they or them. And we would say they, not them, answered. But they answered. And what we have here is a punctiliar word. Answer, they answer, that would be present indicative active, huh? Because they're doing it. They answer. And this is not an answer here, but the aorist tense, what? What is the aorist tense? Say. Was aorist? That's a what kind of tense is that? That's a punctiliar or point action. All right, punctiliar. Okay, it says here they were caused to answer. Literally, they were caused. See that passive voice there? See the passive voice? Okay, and it's first aorist, indicative passive. The indicative is a flat statement that it means it's a fact. And the aorist tense, okay, is that it's punctiliar in action. And the third person plural is the they. All right? Anyway. But the real thing, we're studying the real word. They answered. They were caused to answer, actually. They were caused to answer. The one's attendants. Okay, who is these attendants? Remember what that word hiperete means? You remember what that word means?
Under roars, literally. Under roars. The word came on the old slave ships. And, you know, when they would fight out there in war and they came up by battling and they'd ram each other's ships and everything, back then they'd jump on one another's ships. But down on the lower decks, they had prisoners chained to their seats, and that's where they stayed. They ate.
Ben-Hur.
Yeah, Ben-Hur. Okay? That's exactly. All right? This is where the term came from. It means under roar. The one under the deck that's roaring, under roars. The servants. The strong arm people. That's what it's talking about. And these people were like the deacons, or like the temple police. That's who these people were. All right? That kiparete, under roars. And then udipote, that's the next word. It comes from uk, day, and poti. All right? It's a little adverb, and if you want to look it up on page 294 and mention Ben Davidson's analytical Greek lexicon, you can. It means never. Never. Moreover, not at any time. Okay? Moreover, not at any time, he spoke. A man. He spoke. Look at this now. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative acting, that comes from laleo. And what does laleo mean? We have words in Greek. Reo, which means the speech or flowing language. And then we have lego, which means to line up your words in order where one person can understand what the other person's saying logically. And then we have the word laleo in Greek. Laleo means to form speech by human speech. Dogs talk to each other. Chickens talk to each other. Pigs grunt to each other. They talk. All right? But this is God or a man speaking with human language. When you speak, what do you use? What do you use, Hernando, when you speak?
Sound.
Well, you use sound, vibrations.
Vibration,
it's vibrations, all right. And how you make that vibration go?
With your tongue.
An air. Your voice box has cords down in there. And your palate, the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
Your lips. Your teeth.
Yeah, right.
Your tongue. Your throat. Hello, Brother Jim. It is good to see you back here. Yeah. Next week, we're going to start on the verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation from the beginning all the way through the summer. And if you need the tapes or something, we'll have them or whatever if you can't get to the class, but that's what we're going to. And if you see anybody else that might be interested in that, we're going to study every verse from the original language, but from the history, theologically where it's going, all the whole, as much as I can pour on you. All right? Never he spoke by means of human language. That's what that word speak there means. It comes from laleo, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active, John 7 and verse 46. He spoke in this manner a human being. Anthropos. We get a word in English, anthropology, from that. What does anthropology mean? Comes from two Greek words, doesn't it? What are the two Greek words anthropology come from?
I heard the word anthropology.
Okay, one of them is anthropos right here. Okay, that's man. Man. Anthropos. Anthropos. And the other one is logos, which means to study it. Those two words, anthropology, pneumatology, the study of spirits, two Greek words, pneumos and logos, all right? Pneumatology, the study of spirits, anthropology, the study of mankind, or the human beings. In this manner, that's the little houtos there, that's an adverb. You can look that one up on page 296 also. And the word man there, it ends in onomicron sigma.
So that's nominally singular masculine. Never a man ever spoke like this before. No one ever in history ever spoke like this before. All right? Then we have 7 and 47. Apokritheson. Un. Utois. Hoi. Pharisaioi. Me. Kai. Himes. Pemplaneste. Okay. Pemplaneste. The word planet comes from that word, by the way. The English word planet comes from planeo, and it means something that goes in a path or on a rail or in order, in a path, an orbit. Like a train stays on a rail and goes around in a circle someplace or goes here to there. It usually has to come back somehow in a circle. Even if they have to have a round table to turn them around. They answered, literally, or what they were caused to answer. They were caused to answer. Why in the world would say they were caused to answer? See that passive voice there? That's passive. We got third person plural, they. First aorist, that's a punctiliar action. We got an indicative mode, it's a statement of fact, and passive voice. The passive voice says here that the subject is being acted upon. Okay? They were caused to answer. Something made them answer. Okay? They were caused to answer. Un, therefore, a little particle. To them, they be plural, masculine, third person pronoun. That's autois. Hoi pharisaitois. Pharisaioi. Who's these pharisaiois? Who are they? Yeah. Pharisees. What does the word Pharisee mean now? Remember? Remember what that word means? That comes from a Hebrew word. Actually, even back in the Chaldean or Persian. What does that word mean? Pharisee. Pharisees. Remember when Daniel and all of them saw the handwriting on the wall? Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin? That's where the word Pharisee come from. Pharisees, that means separated. Separated or divided. Okay? Separated or divided. The ones, Pharisees. The ones there, therefore, the ones, Pharisees, they were caused to answer them. And then it says, me or may, not also ye have been deceived. Literally, led astray is what that means.
That's where you get the order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, led astray. Yeah, led out of the right path. Okay? Not, a little particle of negation. Chi, that's a cumulative particle, page 208. Chi is also and, it's also also. But, in some places, an adversative conjunction. And then ye, and that is ye there, that means the nominative plural second person pronoun. Greeks completely declined and conjugated everything. Even the personal pronouns. Ye have been deceived or led astray. Second person plural, that's ye. Perfect. Perfect tense, what's that mean? What kind of action perfect tense got? Completed action. That's action that's completed. All right? And we have the indicative mode. The indicative mode is a statement of fact. And then the passive voice again. What does that passive voice mean? Somebody is acting upon the subject. All right? They said, have you not also been led astray out of the pathway? Deceived? You have been deceived, you have been led astray, or out of the pathway. Do you? A lot of people say the book of Revelation could not be inspired because it's not grammatically correct like the rest of the Bible. Well, John is writing it in Greek, but he's thinking Hebrew. It's Hebrew syntax instead of Greek syntax. You got to know Hebrew to know that. Some of those Greek scholars didn't know Hebrew, I guess. I don't know. May. Tis. Ek. Tone. Archonton. Epistuison. Ace. Alton. E. Ek. Tone. Phariseon. That almost sounds like Pharisee, doesn't it? All right. Particle of negation to begin with, page 268. Not. Little old tease, that is a interrogative, indefinite, pronominal adjective. If you want everything about it. And then we have a little preposition. Ek. So we have not anyone, and then ek means the same thing as the exit sign. And what does it mean? What does it mean? What does the exit sign mean? Out of it. All right. That's what exit means, out of it. So we have ek here, so it means out. And when you see ek, you can think in the oblative case. And that is the case of origin. Where did it come from? Okay, not anyone out. Preposition, page 121, if you want to look it up. Out, tone, or cone tone. Tone is the oblative, plural, masculine, definite article. And then we have our cone tone. What does our cone tone mean? RK is what? That's the word it comes from. RK. Beginning, or first. Okay? What do you think this word our cone tone means? Literally, first ones. The heads. The rulers. Okay?
Monarch,
yeah. Yeah. That means one head. Monarch. One head. Think about that one for a minute. Mono, one, arc, head. One first. When you have a monarch, you have one guy doing all the decisions. You have a king, you've got a monarch. Alright? May, peace, et, tone, or cone tone. Not anyone out of the rulers. He's talking about the ruling class. The ruling class. The big shots. The educated people. Is there anyone out of the rulers that has believed? That's what it's saying here. Is there anyone out of the rulers that he believed? Did one of these believe? Any one of them? Who was? Who were some of those that believed? Out of the rulers. Nicodemus. What does Nicodemus mean? Let's look at that one. I'm sorry. Nicole. Nicodemus. Nicodemus. What does that mean? Nico. You have Nike shoes, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what Nike shoes mean? Conquering shoes. All right. Victory, conquering. All right. So it means a victory or a conqueror of mobs. Mobs. Mobs of people. He's a mob ruler.
Democracy.
He's a mob ruler. Yeah, the word democracy comes from that. All right. Learn all kinds of words. This is etymology class, too. Now you can use that on the witness with, can't you? You know what this means?
Conquering.
Ruling over. Conquering over. All right. Is anyone out of the rulers believed? Nicodemus, the mob ruler, the mob buster. Okay? The mob buster. The crowd buster. That's a mob or a crowd of people. Okay? That demos.
That's like the SWAT team, huh?
Now he's like the one man swap team. That's what old Nicodemus was. Who else? Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. Okay. He was another one. He was a big shot. Rich man. One of the heads, one of the rulers of the country. All right? One of those people in power. Some of them believe. We're going to find out in a few minutes because one of them is going to speak up. And defend him. Is anyone? We have this little word, this little particle here on page 184, this A. Does anyone believe ace auton? Ace is a preposition. You can find that on page 119, and I know it covers a lot of things. But ace means, it means that the action, it tells you about the action of the verb. And ace means, and shows and denotes the action of the verb, the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Has anyone believed because of him? Has anyone believed in him? Or out of the Pharisees? Ek. Where we get exit from? Has any of the big shots done, or any of those out of the Pharisees? And what does Pharisees mean? The separated ones.
The Sadducees.
They're the sad ones. The Sadducees. What did the Sadducees believe, by the way? What made them so sad?
I'm not really sure.
Huh? What did they believe? What?
They didn't believe in a resurrection.
They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in any spiritual things. They didn't believe in any afterlife. All they believed in people being good people. They're the father of the humanist stuff today. And what we call the those people that look forward, I can't think of the term right now. I should be able to do it. But those people that look forward to a utopia.
They were a different religion then?
Yeah. They were Jews. They were Jews, but they didn't believe.
Okay.
They believed in the Ten Commandments put into action. But they didn't believe in the God that created the Ten Commandments. They thought that man would, through time, think of this, and through education, that he would get better and better. This means that man would get better and better if you educated man and you give him a good chance and a good start and everything, that he would get better and better, and that he would finally turn everything into a millennial reign, that man and the idea of God would be one and one someday. The idea of God, not God, but the idea of a God.
That's what you hear in college campuses now.
Well, this is the father of the Sadducees. I mean, the Sadducees were the father of these people. All right? Or out of the Pharisees, the separated ones. If you want to cross-reference this to something, you can cross-reference to John 12:42, Luke 23:13, and John 7:26. John 7 and verse 49 now. John 7:49. What time is it? To velocity. Fuck! What? 49. Allah. Ho.
O
close.
Hutos.
Ho.
Me.
Genosko.
To.
Nomo. Ipare toi. Asa. All right. Allah is a strong adversative conjunction, which means but. But But is an absolute turnaround of thought and action. But it calls your attention to something. Calls your attention to something. Ho o klos. Ho is nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. And a definite article in Greek is a pointer. And when you see a definite article in Greek, it means it's pointing to something. It's very important. There is a big stop sign out in front of you with an arrow on it pointing at something. We get our word index finger from this deal, the pointing of the index finger, the pointer. That's what a definite article is. It is a pointer. The crowd, but the crowd, pointing at the crowd said, all right, the oklos, and how much is in an oklos? We studied that before. How many people are in oklos? 5,000 or more. All right, that's how many this crowd. Now, it's looked upon as a unit. All right. We talk about somebody, members of a church. Actually, the church is the members. But when we use the term church as a people in a local body of believers somewhere, we talk about the believers as a unit, as that church there, in that place. Okay? And that's the way this word crowd is looked at here. It is a unit of people. 5,000 or so. But the crowd, not only singular masculine, not plural, but masculine, looking upon them as a unit. But the crowd says, this one, the monstrous pronoun, nominee singular masculine, this one, the one, ho again, ho, a pointer again, an index, a stop sign with an arrow on it, but the one not knowing, all right, not there, that's that little particle of negation, may, knowing, gnoskon, that's nominative singular masculine present participle acting, and that comes from gnosko. And that's where we get our word knowledge, by the way. Comes from this word. To know, K-N-O-W. Do you see how it is there, gnosko? That's gamma, iota, ni, nu, omega, sigma, kappa, omega, nu. Gnosko. Word knowledge comes from this word. But the one not knowing, tone nomon. Tone is nominative nor accusative singular masculine, definite article. And it's making sure that we know what the law, what law is talking about. The law of Moses. The ones not knowing the law, they're still cursed. They're going to hell anyway. We won't worry about them. The crowd, we won't worry about. The common man, we won't worry about. But what about the big shots? We don't worry about the crowd because they're going to hell anyway. They're not informed. The uninformed. The uninitiated. We don't care about them. There is a society in America today called the technocrats. You know what a technocrat is? A technocracy? That's the few making the decisions for the many. It's something I used to go over through all hell every now and then, and I'd say that it was the technocrat headquarters. Well, if you were a technocrat,
your house with the sign
out? Not mine. Yeah, have you seen that?
The
technocracy. The technocracy of is the ruling elite. Those that are initiated and educated, making decisions for the many. I've got news for you. They're doing it already. They're already doing it. Whether they're called technocrats or not, they are in practice. All right. They didn't care about the crowd going to hell or going which way or following Jesus, but they didn't want any of the leaders doing it. Because these are the big shots, these are the ruling class, the people making the decisions, giving out the traffic tickets. Hey, that donkey's going too fast. You owe us a big fine. They don't want any of those big shots. They don't want any of those big shots believing. Knowing the law, cursed the ones they are. Cursed. Apocrite. Damned. You can look that one up on page 150 in that little analytical lexicon. And then Asen is third person plural, present indicative active, comes from Amy. Okay, they are and they continue to be that way. Third person plural, present tense, indicative mode, active voice. Damned, they are and they are going to stay that way. That's what it says. John 7 and verse 50. John 7 and verse 50. Lege Nicodemus. Nicodemus. Now, what does Nicodemus mean? All right. Guess who speaks up? The SWAT team. Oh, Nicodemus, the SWAT team in one. All right. Lege Nicodemus, pros autos. Autos. Ho. Elton. Pros. Auton. To. Proteron. Ace. Haste. Hey. That's a rough reader here, not ace, but haste. Haste. Say that like an H. Haste. Om. Ek. Auton. That's a. This is an exercise in breathing, this one is. Legate. Oase omenity usiane. That's the conjugation of this little present and indicative acting. Lego, legais, legae, legomen, legeti, legusi, legae. Okay? Legae. All right? What does it say here? Oase. He says. Third person singular, present indicative acting from Lego. Okay? Nicodemus, the mob ruler. Old Nicodemus himself. He speaks up now. Remember, I told you he was going to hear from him. Nicodemus, toward them, or to them, pros, that's a little preposition, page 346 of the analytical lexicon, and he says, to them, autus, that's third, that's accusative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun, the one, ho, the one, having come. The one, it's pointing him out as the one, John's pointing him out as the one having come to Jesus of night. All right? Ho elphone. Nominative singular masculine, second aorist, and participle active. Pros, toward, or to him. And who's the him here? That's Jesus, isn't it? Accusative singular masculine, third person pronoun. The one, this is a hard word to translate in English. It's ho proteron. The one firstly, or at first. It's kind of like an adverbial thing. An adverb of place, kind of. It's a weird word. Let's just call it firstly. Okay? Translate it firstly. The one firstly, and that word ace there, haste, is nominative singular. That's a numeral. See, even the numbers are inflected in Greek. All right? The one that came to him at first, being out of them. All right? Before this, did any of the rulers believe? Here's one of them stands up and speaks now. The one out of, the one being, that's a little old. That comes from Amy. That little being here. Present, participle, active, nominative, singular, masculine. Look at all that. That's that little marriage between a verb and a noun. And it's declined and conjugated all at the same time. Ek. This ek here is written like ek with a C on it instead of a kappa. For euphony. What does euphony mean?
Sound good together.
All right. They sound better that way. All right. Ek autun. Out of them. Oblative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun. Ek, remember I told you that when you see that little old preposition, think of it in the oblative. The oblative is a case of origin. Where did he come from? Out of them. Where did he come from? Out of them. Who's the them? The rulers, the Pharisees. All right. He was even on the Supreme Court, wasn't he? One of the big shots. The judges. Here comes the judge. See? Well, it's 7:15 already. You want to go a little further or you want to stop here? You got someplace to go? I think the bunch down below already let out, or maybe.
My daughter's supposed to be down.
Okay. Well, we can...
She's
we can quit here. Huh?
Can we get to chapter 8?
Well, I don't think we're going to... See, actually, 52 is where it ends. Because that's where it ends, and in chapter 8, actually from 753 to 811 was not in the oldest manuscripts. That was not there. I have here the woman caught in adultery, from 753 to 811. The oldest Codex Bazei is 7 to 800 A.D. A.D. 7 to 800 A.D. That's about 700 years too late to get in the Bible. All right. Textus Receptus, which the King James was made from, that Codex Bazei. All right. I'll give you a little bit of that. I better let you out here and let you go. Next week, this is where we'll end. And then this next fall, we'll start here if we don't go on into the book of Revelation. Next week, gather up your friends and bring them, and we'll study the book of Revelation together next week and see what revelation we can find from that, because there are many revelations from the book of Revelation. Not revelations, but revelation. What's that word of prayer? Brother